Hi guys, it's Yokai again. Welcome to another episode of Enlightened Entrepreneur. Today, my guest, a very special guest, is Lida Citron, who is an international branding and reputation management expert who designs and enhances the identity of global companies and executives. With more than 20 years of experience creating and implementing reputation strategies, Lida excels at uncovering and communicating the values that operate at the core of each company and individual. Welcome to the call, Lida. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Thank you for agreeing to be with us here and our listeners today. To get us started, can you tell us a bit about yourself, which probably a lot of your followers might not know about, something very interesting?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was not supposed to be an entrepreneur. I think that's probably the most unique thing about me is that I loved my corporate career. You know, I had spent 20 years in business and one day woke up and realized that in order to be the kind of person I want to be and have the future that I want, it meant starting my own company. And I think I was most surprised as everybody around me, but it turned out to be one of the best decisions I ever made. So I was not one of those kids that grew up and wanted to own my own company since I can remember.
Yes. Yes. And you've actually worked with some amazing entrepreneurs since you got started into this. I was looking at your bio earlier on. You have worked with the US News and World Report and Fortune magazine and all that. Would you tell us a bit about your journey in working with all these outstanding companies up to this point?
Well, and so I do a lot of media because I think the topic that I'm talking about is it's very popular in the U.S. and I think international markets are starting to pick it up as well. So I have been featured in a lot of international media on the idea that you can actually control and design your career or your future based on something called reputation management or personal branding. And you know, the companies that I've worked with, the executives that I've worked with have been all over the world, from Australia to Holland to the UK to Canada, because they're all looking for competitive advantage. And you know what that means is I know how to differentiate myself from everyone else out there. And if you do know that, you have a layer of control and intention that most business owners, most entrepreneurs, and most professionals honestly don't know about.
Excellent. And you use very simple strategies, I gather, from our previous conversations.
Well, yeah, and I always introduce it that they're simple strategies and they're simple process, but they're not easy. Yes. My work is very difficult in that it requires my clients to get very clear about who they are, what they represent, and who their target audience is. And it's not superficial. I push really hard to get to that place of authenticity because from there we can build a strategy and look at all the tools that we have available at our disposal, from social media to networking to image and body language. But unless we do that first part right, which is a simple part, but it's a difficult part, then none of the rest really makes as much of an impact.
Awesome. Awesome. So, for example, one of our listeners listening, they want to go through that process. How long does that take for you to, from the time you introduce to a potential client of yours to the time where they're actually beginning to see the results of what you teach them?
You know, and I don't say this lightly, but I think once we start working together, they see results, they see a difference very quickly, because what I'm able to do is help them start synthesizing messaging and positioning really from our first meeting. But my whole process, if I'm working with a professional or executive on a big strategy, that could take a couple months. But they are getting tools from that first meeting. The full program isn't delivered usually for, I would say, minimum 6 weeks, but most likely 3 months. And then it's ongoing. Then it's, you know, it's not just job related, it's career related, it's business related. So it's very sustainable. All of my work is sustainable and scalable. Has to be. I'm a business person.
Incredible. Incredible. Let's look at how you actually got started with this, you know, with this particular project, which we are talking about, which is personal branding.
Mm-hmm. So it was 2008, and I'm sure your economy was having as much fun that year as ours was here in the States. And, you know, I found myself looking for a new job after, you know, being very successful in corporate. And when I started to think about the kind of job that I wanted, nothing appealed to me because I had a vision that was bigger than what these jobs were offering. I also had two sons that were about to go off to college, and this really seemed like an opportunity that if I was going to spend any time with them and be available more than working 80 hours a week from an office, that this was maybe a good time for that. So I started Leda 360, and it was as if the universe was waiting for it, because it just took off from day one. And I've never looked back. I never questioned that this was going to be a short-term gig, or, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. It became something I was absolutely committed to from day one, which is unusual for me, because I always have an exit strategy.
Yes. Even for a lot of people, it's very, very, very difficult to come up with that. Now, how did you actually choose which path to take? Because, you know, in a lot of people who may be in a similar situation like you were back in 2008, they have so many options to take, but then they need some guidance to how do you choose that I'm actually going to focus on this 100%. How did you get to that point?
You know, it's trial and error, because I wasn't setting myself out as a bookkeeper or a lawyer working, you know, remotely. I had a new offer that a lot of people didn't understand. Nobody really was talking about personal branding and reputation management. They were at the big corporate level, but those weren't the clients I was initially looking to attract. So a lot of what I had to do was introduce a new offer to a market that didn't necessarily know that's what they needed. Which for a marketing person is like the ultimate challenge. And it was really a lot of figuring out the messaging, figuring out the right approach. But the one thing I am is a branding strategist. And I knew that I had to have my brand and my look and feel and energy level very, very clear. Because if I was going to teach someone else how to do it, I had to do it for myself. And that's a tough process. It's a tough process for my clients. It's also tough to do for yourself. It's like doing dentistry on yourself. I don't advise it, but it really helped me clarify who I was looking to work with, what I could offer them, and what the end results would be. And that really helped my marketing.
Incredible. And that took, presumably a very short space of time or a long space of time. What would you say?
You know, I don't do anything over a long period of time. I tend to be a very type A person. So if I get information, I act on it. But I listened. You know, when people would say to me, I don't quite understand what you mean by personal branding, I didn't push through that. I worked through it. So I would take what they had to say to heart and ask myself, okay, am I not being clear? Do I need to word it a different way? Do I need to create a graphic that explains it? I really listened to what people were telling me. So I think that fast-tracked my process a little bit, because I was flexible, and I knew that developing this model, because it didn't exist and there was no pricing model for what I did, there was no example I could look at, that I needed to listen to what the market was telling me and work through that, not just push through it.
Awesome. Awesome. That's really good. Now, yeah, given to somebody who is just getting started about their personal branding, what would be your advice?
Well, but in personal branding, you know, it is a universal concept, right? Everybody, no matter where you are in the world, has a personal brand. And the way I define personal brand is that it is your reputation. It is the way people perceive you and the way that they perceive value from you. So if your personal brand is someone who is collaborative and innovative and creative, then that's what I believe I will experience when I interact with you. And people who are looking for that are attracted to you.
Excellent.
So I think what happens is a lot of us don't think we can actually affect that. And, you know, throughout our careers, we're not mindful of the reputation we've built or the way people perceive us. And we don't realize we have a lot of control over that. And that's really what I teach, is through my books and my speaking and my one-on-one consulting, is the level of control and strategy you can have to affect the way people perceive you and therefore assign you value.
Awesome. And I'm assuming that, you know, when you have a potential client comes to you, you would take them through that process as well.
Absolutely. I mean, the process I'm very loyal to. I can fast track it. I can spread it out. But I really don't deviate from it. There's a slight twist to it, and that is I also specialize in reputation repair, which I tell my audiences, do it right, and you don't need to hire me for that, because that part of my work is very expensive. You know, if you've made mistakes or you've got a very bad reputation, and we have to fix that, that can be costly because there's a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of time. And I'm talking about, you know, at the executive level, especially when people have made mistakes or been caught in situations that were less than fortunate, and it's very public information.
Correct.
Those cases are very challenging, but I certainly do that kind of work and have had tremendous success. But yes, I absolutely take people through my process. And honestly, it's the process I laid out in my books. So, you know, there are a lot of ways to get this information, not just hiring me.
Awesome. And I'm glad that we have some links here with us as well that, you know, our listeners could have access to, you know, at the end of this program. Let's talk a bit about, you know, how you actually got started in, you know, in 2008. What were the necessary basic steps that you took, you know, for our listeners who are getting started right now?
Sure. Well, I'd never started a business. I had always worked for businesses or corporations. So the first thing I did, which I tell every entrepreneur or potential entrepreneur, is I talked to anyone who had. And I really focused in my market on women who had started a business because I wasn't sure if that was going to be maybe a niche for me. But I sat down or had calls with any woman, successful business owner who would speak with me. And what I did is I asked the same three questions in addition to other questions. But I asked the same three questions. First, what did you do right? And I listened to what they said. Second, what do you wish you had done differently, you know, looking back, whether it had been 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years that they'd owned their business? And third, what piece of advice would you give me after I explained kind of what I was going to do? What piece of advice would you give me? And I really listened. I didn't go into those conversations with any set expectation, but I listened to what they told me, and I watched for patterns. And consistently, a few things popped up. They all told me, which was shocking for somebody coming out of corporate, is don't write a business plan your first year. Now, that's it, right? That's shocking because
Absolutely.
You think a business owner has to. But I was going into an unusual situation. So I think if you were starting a manufacturing company or any type of business where you're going for investors, of course you need to have a business plan.
Correct.
But the reason they told me not to write a business plan was because I would manage my growth and my value proposition against that business plan. And their advice to me was, you know, give it some time to sort of mature and grow and figure out what it's supposed to be. Best advice I was given. They also said to really make sure that I had a strong brand, which was music to my ears because that's what I do. And then third is they said, you know, go all in. And I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs who said when they started, they would give themselves a couple years, or they'd say, well, I'm going to try this for 6 months, but, you know, something better came along. And they all told me, if you're into this, go all in. And I did. I mean, that was easy for me because I had no expectation that I would ever not do this. But those were consistent patterns, and I took those to heart. And I share that advice now with other entrepreneurs that are looking to start a business. You know, really be clear on your vision, but don't write a business plan. Create a vision, have a brand, and then go all in.
Incredible. That just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, most successful entrepreneurs keep on sharing with me about, you know, during these times together. Let's talk a bit about the marketing plan, you know, having done all those things and for, you know, you're certainly doing something right. How do you market your business from where it was when you were just getting started way back in 2008 to where it is now? What has changed and where do you see things going from here?
Yeah, not a lot has changed. Part of my brand and my value proposition is anchored in two words. It's anchored in generosity and gratitude. So when I took my brand through the process that I teach my clients, those were the two of the anchors. So what that means is a lot of how I market my services to be generous and grateful is by giving away. I do interviews like this where, you know, I'm giving content. I'm giving my expertise to people I may never meet or interact with. So a lot of it is blogging, articles on various media sites or, you know, different portals that can reach a lot of people. Because I don't feel like everybody that needs this has to hire me to get the expertise. I ended up writing my first book, Reputation 360, because I couldn't keep up with demand. And there was so many people asking for my advice and comments that I just wrote a book and said, you know, for $20 on Amazon, now you can do it yourself. But it's that sense of you know, being true to who you are. And if I'm going to be known as someone who is an expert and that is generous and grateful, then I have to give a lot of it away. So I'm very active on social media, very active in my community, and very active globally in, you know, in this space that I've sort of created and now dominated, which is reputation management. And a lot of it is speaking and writing and giving.
Incredible. Those are very sound, you know, advice, you know, to give to our listeners. Now, you know, what do you know now in running your business that you wish you knew back then? And what would you say to those who are getting started? Say, look, other than these three main things I've just shared with you, here's an additional one, which I think if I had known, it would have, you know, I would have, the speed at which I would accomplish my goal would have been much faster.
In looking back, and I love this question, because looking back, I wish I had known exactly how unpredictable this was all going to be. You know, that there's nothing consistent. And I don't mean consistent from a business standpoint. I almost mean more just in how I look at the business. I can be worried about cash flow one minute, and then all of a sudden a huge client falls in my lap. I can be worried about my online positioning, and then the next thing I know, you know, a major media outlet wants to do a profile on me. There's nothing consistent. No 2 days are the same. No two clients are the same. And I think while I wish I'd known that, I think that's the part that's kept me really interested in this business, is I didn't like routine. I didn't like predictable. And so I really got what I asked for by starting my own company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's the journey of us entrepreneurs. You know, and nothing is guaranteed. It's ups and down all the time. But you just need to have that emotional strength to keep on going through the different seasons in your business.
Absolutely.
Yes. I suspect some of your time you work from home.
Yes.
Okay. What advice would you give to somebody who is starting on their own, but they will probably be spending more time working from home?
Yeah, it's you know, I wasn't sure I was going to like it. And I've had a physical office as well, and I didn't like that any better. You know, I think as an extrovert, as someone who loves to be around people, what I missed initially, and I do from time to time, is the hustle and bustle of an office.
Yes.
You know, walking by cubicles or office doors and saying hi to people on a daily basis. I have two dogs, which, you know, they humor me in that sense because I talk to them sometimes. but I miss the noise. And one of the things that I did, and I tell entrepreneurs to do, is I bought a small TV and I keep it in my office and I'll just have the news or whatever running in the background. But sometimes it's just that background noise that really helps. But also to set a schedule. It's very easy to find yourself at noon still in your pajamas, right? Because especially if I'm doing Skype interviews or I'm meeting clients on Skype, they only see me from the waist up, and I could have my pajamas on.
That's true.
So I do get up every morning and I put my makeup on, I get ready for work, because when I'm at my home office or I'm on an airplane, it's the same. I'm working.
Yes,
so I take it seriously and I set that kind of a schedule for myself.
Correct. And get into the zone. I find when I'm working, I need to be in that zone. If I'm not in that particular, I don't get that much done. I lose focus. So I think that's exactly what you're saying here.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the product or service program that you probably have, how you know our listeners could benefit from.
Sure. So I've written two books on the topic of reputation management and personal branding. The first one I wrote a couple years ago. It's called Reputation 360, Creating Power Through Personal Branding. And it really speaks to anyone. I mean, I've had people giving it as graduation gifts to college and university graduates. I've had corporate teams use it as a guide to help build better team morale. And I've had a lot of executives sort of start there to see what this topic really is about. And that book is available on Amazon as well as in an ebook format. And then a couple of years ago, I wrote a book specifically for military. I do a lot of work, and part of my generosity and gratitude is that I work through the military channels.
Excellent.
So our veterans, which I know you have them in the UK as well.
We do. We celebrate them. Absolutely.
who struggle with sort of how do I make a transition into a civilian career, I took the concepts of Reputation 360 and I wrote a book called Your Next Mission, which is a much deeper look into how do our military members, spouses and veterans, take the personal branding message into building a successful civilian career. Both of those are available through my website, but also through Amazon, which probably appeals a little bit more to your international audiences, is to go through Amazon. And I have on YouTube tons of videos of the different parts of personal branding that I talk about. And then I, like I said earlier, I publish a lot of content online through my blog about personal branding.
Incredible. Do we have your YouTube link address so that we, our listener will be able to access it?
Yeah, pretty much anything, any place online, Lida 360, L-I-D-A 360 is my handle, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, it's all Lida 360. That's part of branding, right?
You're correct. Absolutely.
And people can find my website, which is always a portal to all of this, but you can go individually to any of those channels and find me at Lida 360.
Incredible. You've been amazing in our time together. But before we go, you know, would you mind telling us a bit about personal branding, why it's so important, especially now?
You know, because personal branding sets the expectation of an experience. So the way the hierarchy works, when you build a brand, you set a promise. What do I want people to feel about working with me as a company or as a person? And it's critical because from there, you go down into marketing. And marketing is the how and the where and the what, right? Social media, websites, marketing brochures. Those are outcomes of branding. So as an individual or as a company, you have to set that vision and that promise in the brand. That's why I like being high up in the food chain, and that's really what branding is. Yeah. It's like I said earlier, it's a simple process, but it's not easy. Once you're clear on branding, your marketing becomes much more efficient and much less expensive, honestly, because you have a vision. Every touch point, every choice that you're going to make is based on credibility for your brand. And there are no shortcuts. There's no way to bypass branding and get to marketing. And it's for everybody. I have taught personal branding to financial executives, to healthcare professionals, and school bus drivers. So there really is nobody, I would say, maybe if you're a hitman, you don't need to have a personal brand, right? Because you don't want people to have a feeling about you, but yes, everybody else does. So it's a critical part of how we are growing successful businesses and careers in the world that we live in today.
Incredible. And how do people build this particular personal branding?
The process that I lay out is really three parts. So we start with the discovery process. And this is, again, this is mirrored in all of my books and articles. And the discovery process is taking that hard look at, you know, what are you passionate about? What do you believe in? What do you want to be remembered for at the end of your life? It's a lot of those heavy, hard type questions. But then we do a design phase, which helps us start a strategy. So if you want to be known as someone who's innovative and approachable, how is that going to show up in your networking strategy? How is that going to show up in how you market your business? How will you reflect that online and through your messaging? So there's a lot of strategy. And then the third step is to deploy. You know, take those values, look at your strategy, and actually start working them. It sounds like a lot of work, and it can be on the front end, but it makes marketing and living your brand so much easier. I don't question what to put on social media. I don't question what my next blog or article should be about because I know what my brand is telling me, and then I work it through my strategy. And the deploy piece, I mean, it makes getting dressed in the morning easier because I know how I want to be perceived. Cool. I know how I want people to judge me that are in my target audience. And I have a lot more control over that because I'm clear about that promise that I want them to believe.
And the beautiful thing about this is you only have to do the hard work at the beginning, and then you work on being consistent on what you've set up right in the beginning.
Absolutely. Personal branding is not about perfection. It's not about being, you know, cleansed and sterile. It's about being consistent because we're flawed as people. And companies are made up of people, right? So we think of companies being different, but they're people, and people do business with people. So, yes. You know, if you have a strong brand and you make a mistake, your audience, your tribe will appreciate and work with you through that, as opposed to not having a brand and then, you know, one false step or one misstep and it all crumbles down around you. So I do feel it's very much worth that front end investment to make the rest of your marketing and growth a lot easier and more streamlined.
Incredible. Incredible. Now, imagine there's somebody here listening. They've made a brand already. Can they fix it, and how do they go about to do that? I know you mentioned this in your book, but would you just give us just a rundown of how to go about that?
Yeah, so oftentimes we've either made a brand and then make a mistake, or make a brand that is challenged, or we haven't thought about branding and we make a mistake. And the problem that we have today in our world is that all of that lives online. And social media gives us so much, you know, wonderful opportunity, but it can also give us a challenge. And a misstep in a very public sense can be very hurtful to a brand. So what I do is I take clients through the process of kind of understanding, like, what are we really dealing with here? Is it a personal? I mean, are we personally offended by what happened that is showing up online? Or is it something that's really impacting our business? What do we have control over? And creating a plan B to fix it. It can sometimes be a very long process, but there are things that we can start doing right away. And that goes for whether somebody has made a mistake or whether they just haven't paid attention and the marketplace defined them in a way that isn't really who they are. That makes sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Really appreciate that. It's so helpful. And I'm sure our listeners are finding this is useful. For one last time, would you just give us that website where we can find you and your Twitter handle as well as we wrap up this time together?
Sure. So all roads in my world lead to the website, which is Lida360.com. And that's Lida360.com. My Twitter handle is at Lida360. Almost all of my social media, I would say, with a couple minor exceptions, is Lida360, YouTube, Google+, all of that. And that's really where you can find information about my books or my services or my speaking, which I do a lot of training, speaking, and keynote presentations around the world. And all of that information is housed at Lida360.com.
Incredible, incredible. Once again, thank you so much for being with me here
Absolutely.
Today and sharing your incredible knowledge with our listeners today.
My pleasure.
You great success in this year and in all your future projects.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.